So thank you. I'm delighted to be here today. And since we are talking about social media in this session, which is all about connecting with others and communicating, I'd like to just ask a couple of questions. Could I have a show of hands from everybody who uses some sort of social media technology? Practically everybody. I'd say there's a little self-selection in coming to the presentation. Keep your hands up in the air. Those of you who use social media technology, how many of you use it for personal purposes? How many of you use it for professional purposes? Wow. In terms of professional purposes, how many of you use it for sort of communication strategies or networking strategies? How many of you use it for program implementation? Okay. Interesting. Okay, a few. Okay, thank you very much. As Suparna said, I'm from the Center for Public Health Preparedness at UNC Chapel Hill, and this presentation today is about a very short survey that my colleagues and I conducted, and you can see my collaborators on the slide there. And I should have said this at the beginning, but I have nothing to disclose. Just to give you an overview of what I'll talk about today, I wanted to give you just a little bit of background about who we are and what we do to give you a context for our research project, tell you a little bit about what some of our goals were, our methods for carrying out our research survey, share some of our results, and then also talk about some of the limitations we found and what our next steps are. So who we are. So our center is part of something called the North Carolina Institute for Public Health. We are the service and outreach arm of the School of Public Health at UNC. The Institute houses a number of different programs that engage with the public health practice community. Our particular center is focused around largely preparedness. We do some other things as well. We have three areas. We do research, technical assistance, and training. I briefly listed some of our programs there. The area that is sort of really provides the most context for what I'm talking about today are our training programs. In particular, one of our projects, which is funded by CDC as a Preparedness and Emergency Response Learning Center, we're one of 14 such centers established nationally with a mission of providing public health preparedness training to the public health workforce. Our particular PEARL, as we call it, has a focus on distance learning. We also do a lot of field epidemiology training. Field epidemiology is one of the core skills of public health preparedness, and we have a lot of expertise in that area. So we essentially set about this research project sort of as an intersection of two factors. One is that I have a number of colleagues who are very interested in social media, very active Twitterers, very active Facebookers, and they really wanted to engage more with social media at the workplace, and we're always coming up with creative ideas about how and what we could do. Several of them actually took a course that was offered within the School of Public Health. It was a short one-credit course about using social media in public health, and that got them all fired up about the variety of things that we could do. And from my perspective, I'll confess to being a late adopter of technology here. I am not an early adopter. Said, all of this sounds great, but there are so many different ways we could go with this. Where would we possibly start? What would be the most efficient? What would provide us with the best means of engaging with our users and our target audience out of all of these possibilities? Which would be most efficient in use of time and all of these? Let's start by surveying some of our users of our trainings and finding out where they are at a baseline. What do they use already? What are their interests? And that'll help inform us for moving forward. So we carried out a survey. looking to assess public health professionals' familiarity with social media technologies, the frequency of use, both personally and professionally, of different technologies, and also specifically an interest in future professional use. Even if they weren't using social media currently, how interested were they, and in what specifically? So, because we do so many different programs targeted at multiple different audience groups and they're delivered in a lot of different ways, it became really clear from the get-go that any sort of random sample was not going to happen. So we chose to do a convenience sample specifically with users of a program that the Pearl runs, which is an online training website. It delivers short online trainings to a national audience. We have over 59,000 active users of the site. Because the site, people may come, they may take one short training, never show up again. Other people may come all of the time. We felt like we would be better served by targeting a subpopulation of users of the site, specifically those who had signed up to receive our monthly email newsletter about training programs. Our logic was twofold on this. One, we felt that this group might be more engaged and involved with our program and our trainings because they were interested in regular updates from us, and therefore they might be more motivated to respond to our survey. Second was that we had all of their email addresses already handily collected in a listserv, and we didn't have to do a lot of data mining, and we'd be able to shoot something out to them very quickly. We deliberately developed a very short survey with the idea that we would get better completion data than if we did something that was very robust and very lengthy and people would just fall off and not complete it. In terms of populating the survey, we relied very heavily on social media technology choices that were delineated by CDC in a survey they did in 2011 of their website and asking people about what social media tools they were interested in. We mounted it in Qualtrics, which is an online survey platform sponsored by the university. We sent out an initial email invitation, and then we sent out one reminder. The survey was open for 3 weeks. So we got just under 1,700 responses, which, as you can see, was a pretty low response rate. We mailed it out to over 21,000 users. And now let me just walk you through a little bit about some of the results that we found. So the first two questions that we asked the first question was about familiarity with a list of social media technologies, and respondents were given the opportunity to respond on a 5-point Likert scale, ranging from not familiar at all to very familiar. And the second question asked about use of social media in general. And as you might expect, familiarity and use were highly correlated. People who were familiar with the technology used a technology. What you see on the slide here comes from the usage data. And if you look, sort of the highest, there were a few sort of higher categories where over 75% of users stated that they used a particular technology. And those were social networks, text messaging, online videos, and webinars. And I apologize, this slide has a lot of dense, tiny little columns and a lot of information on it, but I'll try to decode it here. So the next questions we asked specifically for those users who said that they used social media technology, we asked them how they used it, whether they used it for personal use or professional use. And we asked them how often. The range they were given was never, a few times a year, a few times a month, a few times a week, daily, or multiple times a day. The graph that you see on top reflects the responses for personal use. The graph on the bottom reflects the responses for professional use. And I'd just like to point out a couple of interesting things, which is that by and large, there was more use for personal reasons than there was for professional reasons. There was much more, less, you can see in the bottom graph, those very high bars to the far left are the nevers, and there's a lot of those for the professional use. The other thing which is interesting is that even if somebody used a technology for both, the use was often higher for personal use, and usage changed depending on the category. So, for example, if you look at that very first cluster set there, which is for social network use, you'll see that a lot of people use social networks frequently, daily, multiple times a day for personal, but when you go down to the professional category, a lot of people never use social networks professionally. There were also, if you looked at text messaging, which is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 set of information in, that bar in the top graph on the right, a lot of use of text messaging multiple times a day. You then come down to the professional use category, and it's almost completely flipped. There's some people that never use text messaging professionally. So we found all of these very, very interesting. We then asked a question about how people wanted to receive information and updates from our center. And the answers we got back, I'll talk about this more in the discussion section, were a little vague. The highest category on here is webinars, and that's how our trainings are delivered. They're delivered via an online training format, and so I think this was really skewed because in the next question, when we asked about how do you want to receive trainings, everybody wants a webinar. So I think that maybe we should have reordered the questions because I think the answers collected in the first one, there's clearly a little confusion there. But it was interesting. Some people, mobile websites, apps, a lot of online videos. Then we asked a question specifically about whether people were interested in trainings about how to use social media in a professional context. Our thought here was that maybe people said they didn't use it because they were totally unfamiliar with it, but had some interest in engaging with it, and if they were provided trainings on how to use it professionally, they would. So we specifically asked that question. Respondents were allowed to pick as many of these as they were interested in, and you see the numbers kind of vary, you know, but roughly a third to 40% of people for all the different categories expressed some interest in getting some training on how do I actually use this tool. We then figured that if we were going to think about using social media tools to connect with our audience, it'd be a good idea to know what kind of technology they have. In particular, our training website is used a lot in local health department environments where the technology can be very, very limited. And so we were interested, gosh, do people have mobile devices, you know, iPads? And you'll see most folks have a smartphone these days. A lot of people have tablet computers like iPads, e-readers, but pretty much everybody has a smartphone. The other category was really interesting because it turned out when we created this question, we didn't think about the fact that people might want to tell us why they can't use social media. So a lot of the replies for the other section were actually, I'm not allowed to use social media at my workplace. I am barred from doing that. We then asked people about those people who said that they used social media in a professional context about why. And you see the responses here. About half said they used it for professional networking. More than three-quarters said to engage in education and training opportunities. And here's where I think the audience, we're sending it to people of a training website. I think the data might be a little skewed. To keep informed about current public health issues, and again, the other, we got a lot of responses about why they couldn't. We also just asked a couple of demographic questions to sort of check ourselves on whether these folks were sort of representative of our users as a whole and how long they've been in public health. And this it's not an exact correlation, but it pretty much reflects the users of our site overall. Then asked about level of education, and you can see there is a pretty good chunk of master's level trained folks, and then undergraduate degree take up about a half of all respondents, and I'll talk about this more, but this actually is not reflective of users of our site as a whole. So what did we do with what came out of all of this? The gist of what we gleaned was that respondents use social media very, very differently for personal and professional reasons. That while a lot of people are using, at least of our audience, are using social media personally, they are not engaging with the technologies nearly as much professionally. The other thing is that within the list that we offered, there are some that are used for professional use, but they are sort of more traditional, less innovative social media when you think about webinars and sort of more static things like that. There was a fair amount of interest expressed in learning about social media use in public health and interested in trainings on how to use it, and also, thank you. And also, as I said, we did get a lot of comments about, I'd be interested in using it, but my workplace restricts my access. And finally, limitations. And our short little survey actually had quite a few, and I will confess them up front, which is that I don't necessarily think that the audience of our training website as a whole is representative of, you know, public health as a whole. These folks are already engaging, at least in a minimal way, in some online efforts. More, less, I don't know. We also, I mentioned earlier that the survey respondents didn't reflect our overall training audience. There was a much more highly educated group. When we look at our the users of our site as a whole, there's a lot less education. And so I think there was very much a skew towards higher education. And I also think participants self-selected to answer the survey because they're interested in social media. So I think there may be sort of a false inflation in terms of social media use at large in public health. The other thing, as we discovered, is that while we wanted to keep the survey brief in interest of getting a high response rate, which we didn't, and also, that's also an issue in terms of generalizability, we had very broad questions, and while they offer these little tantalizing hints of information, they weren't detailed enough in some ways to give us a lot to go on to move forward. So what are we going to do? What does this mean? I think it indicates that there's a lot of opportunity to find out more detailed information about what factors impact public health professionals' decisions to use social media, either personal or professionally, whether it is, you know, I can get to it or I don't have a sense of how I could apply it in my work life. And would they be more likely to engage in social media use in their professional lives if they knew more about the technologies and how to do it? In terms of what we're going to do moving forward, we're thinking about offering some trainings about social media use, but we sort of have to think about where our funding comes from and what they fund us to do. We're really funded to deliver the public health preparedness trainings. I don't know that we're funded to offer social media trainings. I think what is more likely is that we will start to explore social media as a means of communicating with our target audience. The only challenge there, I think, is in an environment of diminishing fundings, is that you can't just throw up a Facebook page and then abandon it and let it sit there. I mean, we all know from personal, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of updating, and so when your time is constrained and you're just trying to go ahead with your program, how much of somebody's time do you have to really cultivate, you know, a lively and engaging, you know, social media platform, whether it's a Facebook page or a Twitter account or whatever. So anyway, so those are the things that we're thinking about. Thank you for your attention, and I'll look forward to answering questions later.